Do you ever have the feeling that life is kind of like Mission Impossible? When we think about what it is to live in the world, with everything that happens each and every day, it can be a profoundly daunting and overwhelming task just to get out of the bed in the morning. Life is profoundly difficult. And apart from God, life in this world is mission impossible. And the thing that the story of the Annunciation invites us to consider today is the following. How are we going to live this mission impossible? Are we going to be like King Ahaz? And I'll tell you about him in a minute. Or are we going to be inspired by a girl of 14 or 15 who lived in the backwaters of the Middle East in a no-place town called Nazareth? Let me tell you something about King Ahaz. He became king as a young man. He was only 20 years old when he became king in the year 735 BC. And he was the king of the southern kingdom of Judah that had its capital in Jerusalem. He reigned as king for 16 years. And there's something very much a piece of irony when he, the king, says to the prophet, "I will not put the Lord to the test." Now, what you need to know about Ahaz, he put the Lord to the test all the time because he never surrendered to the will of God. He was an incredibly willful man. For instance, one of the most prominent Canaanite gods at that time was a god called Molech. And what parents would do would be they would sacrifice their sons to the god Molech. Molech was represented by this huge dragon face, and inside the open mouth of Molech was a furnace. And literally, parents would take their children and sacrifice them to Molech, kind of like aborting your child today. And that's exactly what Ahaz did. He sacrificed one of his children in the fire of the god of the Canaanites, Molech. But not only that, the northern kingdom of Israel had gone into an alliance with Syria, which is just north of Israel. And the king of Syria, a guy by the name of Rezin, went into an agreement with the king of Israel, a king by the name of Pekah, and they wanted to try to overcome the superpower of the age, the Assyrians. And so they want Ahaz to join them. And when he says no, they then want to attack the city of Jerusalem. And this is when Isaiah comes into the story. Because he comes to the king and says, "Do not go into an alliance with them, and do not form an alliance with Assyria. God is giving you, Ahaz, another chance. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to ask for a sign that will be an indication of his faithfulness." And this is when Ahaz says, "I won't put the Lord to the test." What is it about Ahaz trying to live mission impossible? He lives willfully. He lives according to his own strategy. He lives according to the spirit of the age. And it doesn't matter if it's the 700s in the Middle East or in Canada. In 2021, there are people sacrificing to the god Molech all the time. Enter Our Lady. What a contrast. Mary, as I said a minute ago, a girl of 14 years of age. And what's so beautiful about this text from the Gospel is that when the angel Gabriel appears to her, he invites her to remember who she is, to remember to what people she belongs. She belongs to the same people as Ahaz. But here, as the angel Gabriel puts it so beautifully, that you are full of grace. And we're told that she was much perplexed at these words. In other words, what's the grace of God? It's the gift of his love and his presence breaking into this world. And this is what the angel wants her to know. But then very briefly, he recounts the story of Israel. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will be with him, and he will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Here's the beautiful point. The angel Gabriel locates Mary within a narrative. What had happened to Ahaz? He had forgotten all about God's narrative because he was spending so much time on social media that that's the only story he knew. But Our Lady, cultivating the reality of what it meant to be a Jew, to be an Israelite, was then able to hear the invitation of the angel who said, Mary, I am going to call you to Mission Impossible. And here's the thing about this mission. It is impossible without God. It is impossible without the theological virtue of faith. It is impossible if you seek to live willfully instead of according to the will of God. And this is why we say Our Lady is without original sin. Because she never lived willfully. She never lived like Ahaz. She always lived in accordance with what she says at the end of today's gospel, let it be done to me according to your word. Two more points, and then I'll end. In that reading from Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews is reflecting on the whole sacrificial system of the Old Testament. And he says that the blood of goats and bulls cannot take away sin. Because here's what you have to know about Ahaz. Remember where I told you he lived? He lived in Jerusalem. And at the center of the life in Jerusalem was the sacrificial system in the temple. It made no difference in Ahaz's life. In fact, what Ahaz did is he sold much of the hardware in the temple or gave it directly to the king of Assyria, the superpower of the age, because he had joined an alliance with him. And even though Ahaz went to the temple and participated in the sacrifice, it made no difference in his life. And what the writer to the Hebrews wants us to know, in the end, the sacrifice has to be God himself. Because only the sacrifice of God can get our attention. Animals won't cut it. And here's the remarkable thing. When people learn this reality, we're able to say, Lord, as I get up each morning, I feel like it is mission impossible. But I thank you that I'm part of a big story that's way bigger than Jonathan Gibson. I thank you, Lord, that I'm part of the community of the faithful. And we have the example of a teenage girl, just a few years younger than King Ahaz, who came to a very different conclusion as to how to live her life from that ancient king. Many of you know I love the story, The Lord of the Rings. And in the telling of this story, J.R.R. Tolkien sets the date for the ring's destruction as being March the 25th. So the ring and Gollum fall into Lake of Fire, Lake Doom, on the 25th of March. Why does Tolkien do that? Because he understands that when Mary gave her yes, This was, so to speak, the destruction of the ring. And what, for us on our own, is mission impossible, as Tolkien so beautifully tells in the story. When you've got hobbits, like Frodo, and think of Sam. Frodo would never have made it without his Sam. And nor can we. There is no way we can live the Christian life by ourselves. But we are hobbits. We are small. And the world is intimidating. But on this day, we think of a small one, Our Lady. Our Lady who said yes. And not fully understanding what that yes would mean. But with her yes, her womb became the very sanctuary for God. And when we say yes, and when we as a parish of St. Peter's says yes, we become, so to speak, the womb where Jesus can grow and be given birth, so that we can be a people who say with the psalmist, "Here I am, in the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, my God." The mission is possible, but only with Mary and only with Jesus.